Blog Talk Radio.
I see some black people looking at me, man. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking shit, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas. Ish. Ted Koppel ain't never took this shit from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, this Mike Wallace, run.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Harry had a little man, it's white as snow, and everywhere that Harry went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Damn it. I punched myself in the head. Damn it. It's Reese on the radio. Oh, my God. I feel like such a freaking... complete moron. It is my fault. I am like the dumbest person in the freaking world, and I totally have to blame myself. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I am 30 freaking minutes late. I swear to you, I could punch myself in the head. It is my fault. It is my fault. Everybody's sitting around waiting for me. And it is my fault, but I will get into that later. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's what I get. It's totally what I get. It's my own fault. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. And I waited until the last minute, and that's the reason why I'm stuck here. But that's all right. You can blame me for it if you want. It's just 30 minutes. I promise you, I will get over it. I promise you, we will all get over it. But it's my own fault. I went to go take a nap. I went and took a nap at 7 o'clock. That's what I did. That was the stupid mistake that I made. Taking a nap at 7 o'clock, that is the reason why I am sitting here right now, as late as I possibly am. James Montgomery's on the phone now. Get ready to yell at me.
You can't do shit.
I know. It's supposed to be the celebration of my anniversary. And what do? I take a nap for a half an hour, and I wake up, and I'm a half an hour late. I don't even know how I did it. Are you calling the show or not? Yeah, I know. Are you calling in or not?
I tried.
Well, call in now. You can call in now. Yeah, I apologize. It's Reese on the radio. And I had this whole thing. I had the whole thing hooked up.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down the San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep on moving, and that's what tortures me. From this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line, far from Folsom Prison. That's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
It's Reese on the radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. That's right. 37 minutes after the hour. And I'm supposed to have a celebration today, damn it. I feel like a heel, James Montgomery. Aren't you going to curse me out? Okay, he's not even there. At least I don't think he's there. Well, I'll put him on hold now. It's the 1 year anniversary. The day that Reese actually got out of jail. Here's JC. He's on the line now. JC, you can call in now. I'm finally here. I took a nap for a half an hour, took a nap at 7 o'clock, woke up and it was 8:30, so it's my fault. For all of those people tuning in, waiting for me at 8 o'clock and seeing what celebration I had planned. Trust me, I had a big thing planned. Well, we're still going to do it. Doesn't matter. I cannot believe that I'm late, so I'm embarrassed. But that's what happens when you lay your head down, calling yourselves taking a nap. Anyway, let me look at it this way. 1 year ago today, I walked out of the doors at a Manhattan detention center. I walked out of the Manhattan detention center, and I knew I was walking out that day. My trial had been over. I thought I had been through the worst. I really, really thought that the trial was the worst thing that could happen to me. I really, really thought it was. Being on trial, being accused of a crime that you didn't commit. I kind of looked at it in one of those ways where, you sit up there saying, oh, look at these people telling lies, and they were telling these lies on you. I thought I was just going to have to sit there and just watch. You have to keep your mouth shut. You know, you do have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. You're only supposed to sit there and just listen. Just supposed to sit there and listen to what it is that they have to say. So I did. I sat there and I listened to what it is that they had to say. Sat there and listened to the things that you were being accused of. Prosecutor, never ever met you in their life. Miss Rachel Ferrari, the prosecutor in my case. She's standing there and she is, she's saying things with this, bravado, this, you know, the defendant is a this, the defendant is a that, and the defendant did this, and the defendant did that. Never been there. Never met me. Never hung out with me. Never had a drink. Never ate my house. Never even lived on my block. Any block I ever lived on. Oh, and trust me, this man has moved around. But there they were. Talking about you in such a way that makes you just go, damn. Is the jury buying this? The jury buying all of this? Is this real? Could they possibly believe this hogwash? And then to have the accuser sit on a stand and spew these stories, these yarns. That I thought was really, really going to be the toughest part. Did the accuser have the guts to get up on the stand and tell these stories that were out to make you guilty, even though they knew they weren't true? The human condition, that ran through my mind a lot for 2 years, 5 months. Does a person have the ability to just lie? Like, what does it take for a human being to do something like that? Could they just negate the facts and just say anything they wanted to just to get what it is that they wanted? How far could a lie go? I remember every time I called my friends, and I spoke to them when I could. I said, doesn't this person have a conscience? Doesn't this person have, like, some sort of human decency? They didn't. Not one bit. Not one bit of human decency. And that I found to be extremely odd. That baffled me. As a person, that baffled me. Because I always wanted to believe, I guess it was stupid on my part, but I thought it was impossible for somebody to be able to do that. I thought it was impossible for somebody to be able to stand there and tell a story such as that. But they did. They really, really did. And we'll get into that when we return. Just give me a break. Give me 1 second. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and
he's talking about my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Boy, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympic.
Hi, unfortunately, I'm unable to come to the phone at this time. But if you would,
he turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel.
Hello?
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hi, unfortunately, I'm unable to come to the phone at this time.
I'm Kristen.
But if you would, please leave your name, a brief message, and the time you called, and someone will call you back.
But here's some people who do.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting. And you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right, this is Sean Qualley, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Qualley, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning.
What the heck is with all the damn static? It's Reese on the Radio, 52 minutes after the hour. Guys, I know I'm getting completely killed and burned. Seriously, I know. I completely screwed up. I overslept, guys. I really overslept. Go ahead. You can beat me up now.
Oh, am I on?
Yeah, you're on now.
I'm on?
Yeah.
Oh, good, Jay. I thought you were going to steal all my thunder.
Go ahead. You can kill me now. You can totally destroy me now.
Wow. Never say that you don't need the rest of us.
Oh. I have no idea what the heck I did. I went to go take a nap for 30 minutes.
You don't know what you're doing. No, you know what? I don't care. You know what? The fact that you started late, that's one thing. But, since you've been on, you don't know what you're doing.
No. I do know what it is that I'm doing.
Just be pretty. Sit there and be pretty.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I know. I need my team. You're absolutely right. I do need my team. I'm a complete moron, and I completely destroyed everything. I've never, ever been so pathetic.
Yes, because I don't think you know that for some reason – you've dialed JC twice, and we can hear it. We can hear the phone ringing.
Yeah, I know, because I couldn't take it off the air. I know. I felt like a complete, again, I still feel like a complete moron. I know.
But there's a reason, because you are.
Yeah, I know.
At least when it comes to this. And I'm so glad that you've had this moment because you are smart, book smart, doesn't mean you know everything.
No, I don't. And it's supposed to be my anniversary show. This is my anniversary show, and I completely screwed it up, and I literally dropped the ball. Literally dropped the ball.
Well, at least you didn't drop the soap.
I guess it's the jail show, so I deserved it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mary, why you bugging is here, and she's wearing a peculiar T-shirt. What? I wish I could describe it to you. It's just got flowers and writing on it.
So glad to be here.
Well, she's okay. Everybody's in a bad mood today. That's fine. That's okay. Whatever. Where's JC? JC, where are you?
JC's got his show tonight. JC's not going to be on tonight.
At his dance party.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he's got his dance party tonight. I thought he was going to join us. Ah. So we've got him on hold for nothing. That's right. I didn't know JC was having a dance party this early. Well, he is having an old school dance party, so that would explain why he's having it so early.
What do you mean early? It's 9 o'clock.
This is early. Nobody holds a DJ dance party this early. Nobody does.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess this.
You say that, but you know, Friday night dance party. You know, as a matter of fact, you're an hour late.
Yeah, no kidding. JC said he put up a little dance party mix for us. Let's see what he put on our little dance party mix.
C Square Nation, always and forever. One project.
Oh, a little guy.
The way you hold me, the way you touch me. Girl, everything you do to me, you know I like it. Don't stop now.
Yeah, I don't think I would have gone to that party. I just don't pick on the poor guy.
Right now, you need to play anything.
Yeah, I'm not. No, trust me. I promise that I was going to be doing one thing today, and that one thing is I'm going to be talking about the one-year anniversary of me walking out of that jail. And that's what it is I'm going to be talking
about.
Well,
thank you for Folsom Prison Blues. I love the man in black.
It's funny how, you like the man in black, but you're still a Democrat. I still find that odd. That is
not.
Johnny Cash is a stone cold conservative. He's the man in black.
He didn't sing like that.
Why? Because he talked about a girl named Sue?
No, he talked about a boy named Sue. He talked about
a boy named Sue, right.
All the things that that Republicans or conservatives usually want to hide.
Yeah, you would say that. That is so funny.
I would say that because it's true.
No, it makes no damn sense. So anyway, we'll go to the top of the hour because I have a very, very important story to tell.
You have no choice.
Yeah, I don't have a choice. Right. But I got a very important story to tell about my first day going to Rikers Island, and I think you want to hear this story. I'm almost certain you want to hear this story. Because a lot of people don't know about the first day of Rikers Island. It was like, you going to Rikers Island? Oh, man, that's got to be crazy. I said, yeah, it might be crazy, but when you hear what it is that I went through, the day that I went to Rikers Island, a story that I haven't told anybody outside of Rikers Island, I promise you, you are going to hear a great story. And, of course, your regular news and views, what it is that we do come back. All right? So stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's
talking about my argument tweet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who is going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All.
Harry has a little man who sleeps white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the
man
was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese on the Radio, 2 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. Little Sam Cooke, 1960. I told you I got nothing but jail songs today. I got plenty. Trust me. Damn, I wish JC was going to be here. He would totally understand what it is that I'm going through today. But he's got... No, not many people understand what it is that I'm going through. JC... had a lot more involvement in my whole, you know, when I got arrested or whatnot than you guys did, unfortunately, than most people. You know, I'm not saying that you didn't care. I'm just saying that JC had much more involvement. That's all I'm saying.
Excuse me?
Yes?
I might not have been there for you. And I will say only because you kept me at arm's length, but I digress. But if there's anyone here on the show tonight who understands what you've gone through, it's me.
Yes, that's right. I know. Repeat offender you are, you know, constant jail visitor. Yes, I know. So I want to tell that. The reason why I even brought this up and why this is relevant, why this whole day was relevant, because, of course, like I said, April 6, 2011 was the day that I walked out of jail after 2.5 years, 2 years, 5 months. I said 2.5.
Why can't you say 2.5?
Because it wasn't 2.5. It was 2 years, 5 months. So, anyway, so when I got arrested, I spent about 2.5 days at the Manhattan Detention Center when they first walked me in after they brought me down from Boston. So I spent about 2 days in the Manhattan Detention Center. When I got in, I think it was the next day before I got the phone call that I was going to be going to Rikers Island, before I got the call, I should say, that I was going to be going to Rikers Island, a kid had just died in C-74 at Rikers Island, which ended up being a semi-national story because the kid who was killed, who was 18 years old, was beaten up by a gang of kids in what Rikers Island was calling the program. And it was a group of corrections officers who had enlisted a couple of kids in Rikers Island to terrorize other kids at jail. Corrections officers did not realize the boy was dead until the next day, which is, of course, unheard of because there's a spot check every 6 to 8 hours. And people didn't know that this kid was dead under his bed on Rikers Island. I got there a day before he died. So the day he died, I got a phone call that I was going to Rikers Island and I was going to C-73. So I flipped out because I couldn't believe that I was going to Rikers Island literally the day that this kid was announced dead. I was scared to death. Considering the charges that I had, I was probably even more scared. Because I said, if somebody finds out or if somebody knows what it is that I'm arrested for, it was flat out doom. How am I going to be able to defend myself? I can't prove in jail that I'm innocent. Somebody's probably going to step to me, and I'm probably going to have to fight for my life. They killed an 18-year-old while there were corrections officers around. What the hell would they do to me? Not knowing the facts. It didn't matter what it is that they were there for. All I knew from growing up in the years that I had been living in Queens was you go to jail for rape, you're dying. I mean, that's it. No questions asked. Rapists, child
that's
killers, they die. That's it. You're just dying.
It's
so,
not just...
Well, rapists and child killers, forget about it. You're done for. That's the way they view you.
But you raped a child.
As far as they're concerned, what they believe is that you're dead. That's commonplace. And I knew that.
So they would have you believe.
So they would have you believe. So when I got there and I'm sitting in the holding cell waiting for them to get me my dorm or the place that I'm supposed to go, and I at C-73, which is called the 3 building, I'll never forget, I'm walking with the corrections officer while they're taking me to my dorm. And I see on the card they give me, they tell me that I'm going to dorm 13 because my classification is 0 to 5. Now, because I know nothing about the jail system, I've never ever been to Rikers Island in my life. I'm 39 years old. I've never been to Rikers Island. All I hear is 0 to 5. Now, I'm thinking to myself, considering what it is that I'm charged with, I'm going to hell. It's 0 to 5. So I asked the corrections officer. No. 0 to 5 is a classification which pretty much tells you how severe your crime was. In other words, who you are, certain factors play along. So when I'm walking with the correction officer and they tell me I'm going to a 0 to 5 classification, because I know what my charges are and I know how heinous they are, I'm thinking I'm going straight to hell. So I'm asking him, I'm trying to explain and trying to understand to him, what does that mean that I'm going to 0 to 5? And he goes, well, what's your classification? I said, it says here that I'm a classification 3. First thing he says to me is, that means you've been a really good boy. So I said, really? What does that mean? He goes, well, it either means that what you did wasn't so bad or you were a first-time offender. I said, I thought that if you were like a classification 1, then you're like enemy number 1. You know, and the lower you get, you know, the higher you get on the totem pole, he goes, no.
He goes, if you're like a classification 15, 17, you know, you're like rapist murderer. I said, oh. He goes, you're a classification 3. So I look at my paperwork, and it turns out that I'm a classification 5. But because I'm 39 years old, I got 2 points taken off because of my age. So I'm a classification 3, which... I'm way less dangerous.
A little less dangerous than 5.
Yeah.
Because of your age.
Right, because of my age. So I would have been a 5 because of the heinousness of the crime that I'm charged with, but because I'm 39, I got 2 points knocked off.
It's like taking a
defensive driving test. Yeah, exactly. So as it would go on, I'm going to speed up into one particular point about the classification. When I finally got out, today, 1 year ago, do you know what my classification was?
Zero.
A 1. Because I'd never gotten an infraction, never got in trouble with the law, never ever got reprimanded for anything. And because I was the prison inmate council president in both facilities, Manhattan and Rikers Island. I was in charge of prison grievances. Every place I went, they would put me in charge of dealing with sort of like prison politics. In fact, when I was in jail, my nickname, because everybody's got one. James, you had a nickname in jail, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
What was your nickname?
It wasn't very original.
It was just Dread, right?
Huh?
It was Dread, right?
No, actually, it was old school.
Okay, old school, yeah. A lot of guys get that name in jail. My prison name was Politics. That's what everybody called me when I was there. It was always Politics. So here's the story that I want to tell, which is probably, for me, that scared me to death. So the day that I find out when I'm locked up in Manhattan Detention Center and I'm going to Rikers Island. A couple of guys had already known who I was, and they knew that I was nervous about going to Rikers Island. I just heard an 18-year-old kid had died. When they called my name, they said, Hopkins! So I walked to the front. I walked to the front door of the dorm itself. And I said, yeah? And they said, pack up. Pack up. And I only had t-shirts, some underwear, some sheets. What do you mean, pack up? Pack up. You're being moved. I'm like, to where? You're going to Rikers. My legs start shaking because I know kids just died there. And I know it's like it's only been 2 days for me, and I survived those 2 days, but there's no way I'm surviving at Rikers. There's no way. Never been there before, and for me, it was like, you know, it was like every movie I'd ever seen about jail. It was American Me. It was Colors. The only thing is that I thought was nothing but shivs and throwing people off balconies, and it wasn't even Shawshank Redemption as far as I'm concerned. It was every violent jail movie. It was Bad Boys, for crying out loud, with Sean Penn and Issei Morales. It was dead. That was it. You're dying here, Reese. That's what I felt like. So I'm shaking. So I immediately get on the phone, and I call Claudia. I flip out. I call Claudia on the phone. And Claudia comes up with every excuse in the book. Have a panic attack. You know, fall on the ground. Do something. Whatever it is, you can't go there. Just whatever you do, just get out of there. I was too scared to fake anything. I was too scared to pretend to have an illness. I was just too scared. I didn't know. They packed me up. They brought me there. I get there. Now, mind you, we're talking about 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't make it to the dorm that I'm supposed to go into in Rikers Island until... literally, and I remember this like clockwork, 9 o'clock that night. And you'll never guess what got me popular
in jail. When I finally got to Rikers Island, I get to dorm 13 in the 3 building, and I walk in, and the first minute I walk in and I put my clear plastic bag of clothes underneath my bunk, my cot, and they tell me where the day room is, and the guys are in there all huddled around watching TV. What saved my ass and what made me popular was the TV show Heroes. Because the guys in the day room were watching that, and the guys hadn't followed last week's episode, and I knew everything about that show. And I'd followed it religiously. It was my favorite show at the time. And I sat there and I watched it, and I was watching it, and the guys was like, but wait, blah, blah, blah. And I, first thing I opened my mouth was, well, this is that, and this is this, and that person does that, and this person does this, and this person does that. And they were all literally surrounding me, asking me questions, and that was how I got cool. Because their favorite show on TV, I knew everything about. And that was the day, I'll never forget it, it was October 27th, 2008 was the day that I walked into Rikers Island and dorm 13. And I spent from there, because I was arrested on October 22nd, from then on until the day, 1 year ago today, when I walked out, considering the fact that I was there for such a charge, I never had one fight. I had never had one person threaten my life. I never had one person put me in a position where I felt uncomfortable. And I couldn't even tell you. I don't know how it is that I survived. I don't know how it is that I managed to survive. But not one person ever made me feel like I was a criminal in there. Every person while I was locked up in jail all said the same thing. Every person I met, every person I had some sort of relationship with, because you can imagine you're 24 hours a day with the same people over and over again. You build relationships fast. This isn't like the rest of your life where you walk around and you meet this person one day and you see him again the next day and you only spend a couple of hours. You spend 24 hours with these people every day. You sleep with them. You wake up with them. You eat with them. You congregate with them 24 hours a day, so relationships, you build them fast. But every person I've ever met while I was in jail, they all said the same thing. It was that, Reese, you don't belong in here. Morgan Freeman has this great line near the end of Shawshank Redemption when he talks about Tim Robbins' character. And, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here when he says that some birds you can't phrase. That was a common thing with a lot of guys that I met there. Birds you can't cage. Yeah, you can't. Did I say that? No. Some birds you can't cage. You can't cage. Yeah. And he would. People would say that all the time. Everybody would go, Reese, you don't belong here. Everyone said it all the time. You got to go home. Even corrections officers. And I can name plenty of corrections officers, they all said the same thing. When is this guy going home? He's got to go home. He doesn't belong here. And so the day that I walked out, and, you know, even going back and forth to court, and I see those officers all the time, they all walk up to me and they go, I'm so happy to see you out. So happy to see you free. And, you know, these are the people who are supposed to be, in essence, and I hate to put that moniker on them, but they are your oppressors. It's their job to do that. They're the guys who are supposed to flip your stuff, you know, flip your bed.
Yeah, but it, you know, it shows that people have
hearts. Well, they are human. This is true. They are human beings. And, you know,
the whole world is not bad.
It's true. I know they're human beings. But they always made me feel like they always reminded me over and over again that I was human. And some days in jail, you don't feel human. And for a long time, it was hard for me to get back to what I would consider being human. And that part, I'll explain when we get back. And what I mean about feeling human again. This reminds me of Rikers.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and
he's talking about my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com.
That's right. LiseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting. And you can also click on to www.LiseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I-L-O-V-E, I see it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com, 28 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is April the 6th, 2012. Now, there was something that I was supposed to do today. Oh, I know what it was. I promised myself that I was going to play this. That's right. I always wanted to play this on the radio. Anybody recognize
this? Thank God it's...
Back in the days when James and I used to listen to Z100, we were crazy about... on Friday, they would always play Thank God It's Friday, because that was a big deal in radio, and they would play this old 70s song, Thank God It's Friday. James, remember that?
Yes, I do.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Who was it? Our favorite radio personality.
Mr. Leonard.
Mr. Leonard, his end of the week, his end of the week wrap up.
Now, why am I not familiar with that? Are you talking about like the end of the week when he used to play all of the songs, like Everybody's Working for the Weekend, I Don't Want to Play?
No, I'm not even talking about the songs. Mr. Leonard was like the funniest person on the radio at that time.
He was the best, and his lime green Pinto. I sat in Mr. Leonard's lime green Pinto when I was 19. I swear to you, I did at the New York City National Auto Show, man. At the auto show at the Jacob Javits Center, I sat in Mr. Leonard's lime green Pinto.
Well, no wonder you didn't tell me.
Oh, that was the greatest. The greatest.
Of course.
I'll never forget that. That was in the early 90s, and Mr. Leonard, for those of you who don't know, go back and look it up, man. Z100 and the Z Morning Zoo, Mr. Leonard was a fictional character, but this guy used to do the voice of Mr. Leonard, and he drove around in a lime green Pinto with Z100 on the door panels. He was the best. The reason why you don't remember when Z100 used to do the Thank God It's Friday and I Don't Want to Play, Want to Bang on the Drum All Day, and Everybody's Working for the Weekend, is because James and I, when we first got introduced to Z100, it was 1984 when the station first got started. James and I were 15 years old, and you're 4 years younger than us. So you would have never listened to Z100.
No, I was 11, right? I was still living in Jamaica. So I was definitely not listening to
Z100. Yeah,
no, we. I
yeah.
Still listen to Z100 until I got to
Z100. No, yeah. See, the thing is, Z100 was considered the pop station.
Right, it was pop.
Yeah.
Right, it was generally.
Z100 wasn't. I mean, nobody in my neighborhood even knew what that station was.
Right, it was generally pop. They played everything. They played the entire Cyndi Lauper album. Don't forget, even though Beat It and the Thriller album came out in 1982, the Beat It album was still popular on Z100 in 1984 because Weird Al Yankovic came out with Eat It the year that Z100 came out in 1984.
Right.
So we're looking at an album that lasted 2 years later.
And we were listening to Z100 when everyone else was listening to, like, Kiss FM.
Yeah, Kiss FM, 98.7 Kiss FM and 107.5 WBLS. In those days, you still had the Chuck Leonards. Bob Slade, who's still there today. Bob Slade is still at 98.7 Kiss, but you had Chuck Leonard on BLS and Bob Slade on 98.7 Kiss FM. Guys who were icons in the business, man. Chuck Leonard. Chuck Leonard had the great D.I.M. stores. Remember that? Chuck Leonard used to do that.
This is before. Well, you know, we're still talking about New York radio stations, so I don't know if anybody listening knows, you know, the New York radio stations.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny because guys like Chuck Leonard, you know, Chuck Leonard had a small national appeal in the latter part of his career, WBLS. A lot of people got to know him later on through magazines like Black Enterprises, Ebony, Essence. You know, that's when his name started to grow, but it was near the latter part of his career. But, you know, these guys were huge influences to me growing up, man. You know, Frankie Crocker was a huge name growing up when I was a kid. You know, people know him. But what was great about Frankie Crocker and what I loved about him was Frankie Crocker could exist in a world as a radio personality with a Commodore and Al Green, but at the same time, he was cool with Blondie and Elton John. He was still popular in those groups. I mean, that was the era that I grew up in. You don't remember Frankie Crocker? Well, that's a lot younger. Because I was a kid with Frankie Crocker. A kid. Was Frankie Crocker on 98.7 Kiss FM? James, do you remember? Okay, he's not there. All right, no problem. He's not there. It's okay. Anyway, but before we left, I was talking about the human part of and how you can lose your humanity in jail. There's a ritual in jail, and anyone who's ever been there, when you get locked up, it's the random search. By the way, there's nothing random about it. But there is a technique, and let me explain to you what I mean by that. In jail, you can either be killed or survive when it comes to your human dignity in jail. I'll never forget the first time I had to deal with the search. What's ironic about this is that it was only a day in when I got locked up at the Manhattan Detention Center when they extradited me from Boston, and I got the search. There was a fight that happened the day that I got into Manhattan Detention Center. I had been so far arrested maybe about 2 days. So the guys got into a fight because they got into some beef about some food or about dinner. And we had a search that early morning at about 6 a.m. Lights are off. It's really, really dark outside. And remember, this is October. This is about October 24th, 25th. And I was sleeping, dead sleep. I had finally gotten to sleep. And the flashlight comes in. You hear them scream your name. Open 22 lower. This big boom, opens the door. Boom, boom, boom. And you wake up and you're dazed. And all you know is that there are two police officers that got a flashlight. And they're just barking orders at you. All right, get up. All right, stand up there. Get your ID. Put your ID on. All right, put your arms out. Take off your underwear. Excuse me? Take off your underwear. Turn around. Squat. Squat lower. Lower. Stand up. Turn around. Take your shirt off. Raise your arms up in the air. Open your mouth. Put your fingers in. Reach around your mouth. All right, grab your mattress. Step outside. You got to grab your mattress. Step outside. Hold your mattress in your hand. They go through and they just rummage through your stuff. They rummage through your stuff. All right, stand back in there. Your place is a mess. Put it back together. So that's what you have to do. And imagine being locked up for 2 years and 5 months and having to deal with that every month. So in essence, it's 24, 25, 26, 27, 28 times I had to go through that. And if you lived in a crappy dorm, sometimes you went through it two times a month. If you got moved to another building or another dorm, which happened to me often, you got an extra search. It was worse off. I even got moved to C-95. And I mean C-95. Anybody who knows anything about Rikers, oh, man. Oh, C-75. I apologize. C-75. Oh, you went to 75? Oh, man. You know they killing you over there at C-75. Yeah. It's bad over there.
Actually, you know why? It was something you said before. Being that with your age, C-75 was all the young cats.
That's right. It was worse before over there. 347-308-8701. Who's on the line?
Hey, it's me, Reese. How you doing?
What's up, D? How you doing, man?
Man, chilling, bro. God, man, I'm sitting over here. You know, those years you were in jail was killing me, man. You know, I sit there and think about out of all the boys in our crew, I never thought I would see you in there, you know, and oh, it was killing me, you know?
Well,
unbelievable.
Like, I appreciate it.
But I'm glad you're out, brother, you know?
I know, 1 year today, huh?
Oh, wow, you know? And I mean, man, you know, I sit there and think about the people that knocked you, you know? And he ain't words right now, so...
Well, I don't care who knocked me, Derek. I mean, you know, I understand how that's important to you. And let me say, Derek is an old friend. Derek and I have known each other since I'm 19. Derek's 17. I'm 42 going on 43. Derek is actually getting up there in age. I'm not going to mention his age, but you can figure it out.
Oh, Lord.
But the interesting part about this, Derek, is that I was never worried about people who knock me. I mean, if you go to my website, ReeseOnTheRadio.com, there's a picture of me in handcuffs walking with the arresting officers.
Shameless plug.
No, but it's true. But if you look at my face when I'm walking, the perp walk, there's press outside taking a picture of me. Now, think about every time you've ever seen anybody take a perp walk. What are they normally doing when they're charged with rape, my man?
They're trying to cover their face.
Ducking, hiding their face. I'm not ducking, hiding my face, my man. I held my head up high.
Yeah.
I held my head up high. I wanted everybody to look at my face because if I was,
yeah, but you still look like Gary Busey.
Yeah, I did look like Gary Busey. But if I was guilty, if I was guilty, dude, you know what you would have thought, Derek, if you saw me cowering and covering my face.
Dude.
You'd have thought the worst, right?
Yeah. You know, the only thing that killed me was, you know, I think it was like 2 or 3 days before that I seen you on CNN, you know. And then,
I was on, that's interesting. I was on CNN on September 20th, 2008. I was arrested on September 22nd, 2008.
Yeah, go ahead.
And no, the interesting part about that, Derek, what even made it even more amazing was that the police department had me arrested on a fugitive warrant. In essence, saying that I was a fugitive from justice. What the hell would I be doing on national television using my given name and my nickname if I was a fugitive from justice on CNN? In other words, it was sort of like saying, hey, coppers, I'm right here.
You know what? For me, that started it off from right there. Okay? That started off from me from right there. Okay? Because, you know, even though I was hearing everything like second or third hand, when I saw that and they tried to call you a fugitive, I'm like, well, he's been on the radio for how long now?
Since December of 2007. And not only was I on, here's the scary part. I was on radio on December 19th, 2007. I was in the Boston Herald every other month. I was in the Boston Globe when Sarah Palin announced that her daughter was pregnant. I was in the Boston Globe, a New York Times-owned, and I was in the Daily News when I got the gig. I was in the Daily News, David Hinckley's newspaper, in the Daily News, in David Hinckley's section, in the Daily News in New York that my show started in Boston. So a fugitive from justice? Wow, I was announcing to everybody where I was.
Well, actually, for me, it was like they were trying to make you look bad, saying that you were a fugitive from justice. But what I saw was, if he's a fugitive from justice, he's actually spitting in your faces.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you couldn't find him.
Man, this
I
thing,
knew
that's
where he was. Terrible. Everyone else knew where he was.
But it's funny that you say that, James. Let me tell you a little insight on this, and this is scary. You know, my accuser went to the police station on April 25th, 2008. It turns out that when I finally got my Rosario material about the entire investigation, it turns out that the police detective, and if you look at that picture on Reese on the radio, he's the officer on the right-hand side of me. The police officer who's there, Robert Arbuzo, in his own notes, 3 days later, he writes in his notes, Reese Hopkins, WRKO in Boston. So he knew where I was. How could I be a fugitive?
No, they all knew where they were. They all knew where you were.
Yeah, so
but
it
as
was.
You said, and as you like to say, they were trying to make a narrative. They had to make you seem like a fugitive. All right. How is it a fugitive? First and foremost, how are you a fugitive when you moved out? Okay, you didn't run. You weren't even charged when you were in New York.
Right.
No, that whole situation.
So how are you a fugitive?
Go ahead, Derek. I'm sorry, Derek. I know the whole situation.
You know, like I said, the whole situation just kills me because, like I said, man, dude, they took you and you were just about on top. You know what I mean? To me, the next spot would stop for you would have been like on Real Time or something. You know what I mean?
No way I was going to be on Real Time.
Yeah, y'all wanted to see the you know, Democrats bash you, you know? But, Lord, man.
I have a great story to tell about Derek. This is a great story. Once, when I first got to Boston and I started working at WRKO, the guys at WRKO doing what it is that they do, like, you know, when you first get like the new team member, they give you like all the perks. So WRKO gave me tickets to a Celtics game. And I got more seats to a Celtics game. And I was at the Celtics game and I'm sitting in the Celtics game. I'm on floor seats. I'm three rows from the court. I get a phone call from Derek while I'm at the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And Derek calls me up and he goes, yo, man, I can see you on TV, man. I see you on ESPN. It was the greatest feeling ever. Derek calling me up and saying, yo, my boy just called me and told me you watching the game. And he's like, oh, I see you. And I'll never forget that. I felt like I arrived.
Yeah, I thought you were there, bro. I was like, damn, you don't know how proud I was of you, man. And, you know, I videotaped you on CNN a few times, you know, and everything. And, boy, I mean.
I don't think
they can hear me, babe.
Yes, they can. We can hear you.
The
number 4730-88701, another good friend of ours. TJ is on the line. What's up, T?
What's up, brother? How you doing, partner? What's up, partner? How you doing?
I'm celebrating my one-year anniversary of finally being out of jail, man.
I heard, and I had to be on the line for this.
Hey, what's going on, T?
Yo, what's going on, Z? I heard y'all on there, too. Jamie, you there?
Yeah, man.
Oh, this is beautiful.
What did I chime in on? Derek, when Derek first saw me on ESPN when I got into Boston, Derek saw me at the Celtics game. And we were just talking about, just reminiscing about this whole fugitive thing when they tried to paint me as a fugitive from justice when I got arrested.
Oh, man, I remember that, man. That's a loss. That's sad, dog. I remember all of that. D called me up, and he told me what was going down, man, about what happened to you, man. I couldn't believe it, man. I mean, when he said all of that stuff, and they started accusing you about all of that, man, they just don't know you, man. I don't understand it, man. I don't understand it myself.
Yeah, man, this thing is killing me.
If I may, I want to bring Derek in on this one.
Yeah.
Derek, can you tell me the story about our friend Cynthia when you told her what happened to me and what she said to you?
Yeah, right. Okay, you know, I moved in with a friend of mine down here. And this is, I say last August, you know, and then just happened that a guy that I bonded out, you know, was dating Cynthia, you know. She came into the apartment and I was like, wow, you know. So, you know, I haven't seen her in 20 years and everything, and she asked me about Reese. And then, you know, I told her, you know, the situation about Reese and everything. And she was like, hold on one second. She only dates older women. You know, he don't never date women younger than him. You know? And, wow. She hasn't seen him in 20 years. And she knew the deal.
It's so funny because Derek said to me the first time, every time he ever spoke to anyone, and he told them about what I was charged with and what I was accused with, everyone said the same thing. Derek, they were like, Reese. Reese only dates older chicks.
Yeah. You know? That's why I was like, man, you know, it was crazy, bro. It was crazy. It was just total out of your character, man. But, you know, like I said, man, when it comes to a rape charge, you know, you're kind of guilty till proven innocent. You know, it's just one of those things, you know.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I think that's a product of our society, unfortunately. But you know what? I look at it this way, and I'm talking to a bunch of guys here. But imagine if it was your daughter and...
Oh, my God.
No, again, I always go back to that. Here's a girl who tells her mother that she was raped.
Uh-huh.
You're the father. Yeah. Do you suspect that she's lying, or do you immediately run into defense mode?
No, you immediately run into defense mode.
That's a natural reaction.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, if you're a father, you're going to automatically believe your daughter no matter what. But the truth is going to always surface, though. You know?
But no one, I don't expect anybody in her family to disbelieve her. I don't begrudge them for believing her, but, you know, you can't change a story four or five times and then expect the jury to believe you.
There you go. Right. No, well, not even the jury. Not even the jury, man. Not even the jury, okay? When it first came out and it was just her, yeah, All right, there was a little twinge of doubt. Anyone's going to come up with that.
Right.
But when the story kept changing.
Yeah. You know?
To give you a breakdown of all of this and why it was that it drove me up the wall was when the first attorney that I had in Boston said that it happened in October of 2004.
You know, I think we got too many people here because I'm hearing a mad echo.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is. Is somebody online? When I first heard about this and the first lawyer said to me, she claims it happened in late September, October of 2004, my defense was simple. I wasn't there. I hadn't lived in New York since June of 2004. And then when they changed the indictment date to a date that I still wasn't living, the first thing that ran through my mind was like, it doesn't matter what you change it to. I still wasn't there. and they didn't care. And I
go, you know what? Go ahead, Reese.
Go ahead, T.
No, what I'm saying is, you know what? I mean, I don't know how, you know, they do things, you know, down there with the system. But I think, you know, as this thing went on, I think they actually, you know, deep down, they pretty much know that you didn't do. You know, but I think it was so far into it and they put you through so much. I think basically they really wanted to save embarrassment. I mean, I'm sorry that I'm coming out with it like that, but, and I know, you know, you're my friend, and I know a lot of people who are probably listening in on this and will probably think, well, that's his friend, so, you know, he's probably going to say anything. But no, it's not like that. It's, I think that they were so far into it that, and they put you through so much, they just wanted to save embarrassment, and they didn't want to look wrong. So they went and they prolonged this whole thing, put you through this mess, you know, and now this just became one big mess-up because, after all, they found out afterwards the kind of problems this girl had as well. Look at her. She's an habitual liar. You know, that's number one. Okay, her mom was a liar. You know, they couldn't prove anything. They just kept saying more and more and more and more to try to get people to believe that you would do something like this. And I think as it went on, people started siding with you because they started realizing their story just didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what it sounds like to me. And they're afraid if they close this whole thing, everybody's going to know that they were wrong, and there's going to be some dues to pay.
Yeah.
You know, and knowing you, there will be some dues to pay.
Yeah.
Some people know me too well.
Very well. We know you very well.
I don't know him that well.
It's Kel.
But
Barry, yes, you do.
Listen, if there's one thing to say about all of this is, no one ever, and this is something that I want most people to know, no one ever won anything by defending it. And there's nothing for me to defend because I didn't do it.
You know what? I've heard you say that. Wait a minute, I got to stop you there.
What?
Because I've heard you say that before, and I know you're quoting Rush Limbaugh, all right? And first and foremost, this was a guy who didn't want you on his same radio station.
Sure.
What's that got to do with anything? The truth is.
And look, you never win anything by defending it, but you know what? You don't.
I grab him in the car. Come on.
You don't prove your right without defending yourself.
No, let me explain something. No. I don't have to prove that I'm right. I already am right. So I don't win anything by defending it. What I do is attack.
But again, no,
no, no,
no,
listen to what I'm saying.
I can
James,
understand where you're coming from.
James, listen to what I'm saying. I defend nothing because I did nothing. When you've done nothing, there is nothing to defend. See, I have to defend an action. You defend an action. That's how it works. If I've done something to this person, I can defend my action. I've done nothing, so there's nothing to defend. And you win nothing by defending it. The only way that you win is by attack. And my life will be about attack. I have to defend nothing. Who I am is who it is that I am. I don't have to defend a goddamn thing. I will spend the rest of my life attacking anyone who attacks me. You know, think about this in a level, and I know that each and every one of you can understand. Derek being probably the best person to understand this, and I know TJ will understand this. Both of them are gun owners. God damn it, let me applaud them. Gun owners. If somebody is coming to take your life, you can either defend your life or take theirs. What do you decide to do? Well, let's ask TJ. TJ, what would you rather do, defend your life or take his if he's trying to take yours?
Well, I'm not going to let him take mine.
Whoa. So what are you going to do, just to defend yourself and let him live?
Well, if it came down to it depends on the situation.
No. The objective is to take your life, TJ. The objective is to take your life. You're either going to let him live to take it again or you are going to take his life.
But don't you think that's human nature to attack?
Take his life. Let's ask Derek. I can't get a straight answer from you. Let's ask Derek. Derek?
Bro, I'm going to tell that dude, you know, tell Jesus I'll see you a few years from now, bro. No
chance. Right. Someone is out to take your life. You're going to give them another opportunity, or you're going to take it? You're going to defend your life, or you're going to take action?
Hey, you know what? It's a sad thing to say about this, but you know what? George Zimmerman has proved one thing. Dead men tell no tales. You know what I'm saying?
So thank you very much.
I'll shoot you and make up any story I want to make up.
That's what I thought. Hold on one second. So, James, we'll go to you one more time. He's going to take your life. You're going to give him another opportunity by allowing him to live and just defend
you? No, not at all.
That's what I
thought. Not at all. But the thing is, afterwards, when you see or when you're inundated with all the armchair quarterbacks, the Monday morning commentators, then you have to at least say something.
The point is,
okay. One of the things I loved about you, Reese, and one of the things I loved about you was the fact that even though you didn't get out in front of it, at least when they came at you, you stood up and you said, I'm going to talk.
That's right.
I'm going to stay my side.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's the end of the show. I apologize for being 30 minutes late. But it's been a celebration, bitches. It's Friday. Get out there and have some fun. I love you. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll see you next week.
Thank God it's...
Party.